I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah, let the buzz begin as the sounds of Mac Lish fill the room. How is everyone doing? My name is Flobo Boyce, and you are tuned in to the NXT After Show exclusively on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. How's everyone living? The show comes to you live from Full Sail University, where we're broadcasting live right here in Los Angeles, California. So, before we go on to all the things, talking about matches, Dusty Classic results, let's introduce my co-panelist. She is from Championship Wrestling from Arizona, the Emmy-nominated Emily May.
Hey!
How's it going?
Things are going.
I missed you last week.
I know, I missed you last week, too.
You out there fighting crime?
Yeah, I was out fighting crime,
yeah.
You know, saving the world from, you know, all the bad stuff.
You give a nice talking to?
Just, yeah.
Stop being criminal.
I was talking to the flu.
Yeah, for sure.
And all the colds.
I'll get you. Yeah, all right. Cut a promo on the flu.
Yeah.
We also have a very special guest. This guy is the voice of the AEW Dynamite After Show, as well as the AEW social media skim. Give it up for the Hall of Farmer, Jack Farmer.
Hey. You know, you guys, this is my favorite place to steal jokes from, so I decided to come on back.
Why? You're stealing all of our jokes from here.
Yeah, everyone listening and watching, if you like the jokes on this show, make sure to tune into AEW, because you're going to get to hear them all over again.
Okay, so Flobo, you can't do your full...
Exactly. If I could be serious for a moment, say that the NXT After Show and the AEW After Show are like the tag team of wrestling coverage in the Wednesday Night War, exclusively here on AEW.
It's the Wednesday Night Hug. It's not a war.
Yeah, it's like Wednesday Night Hug. But here, I'll be remiss if I don't mention the man in the booth, the man about town, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Ryga.
Am I your booth thing of the week?
You're my booth thing every week, sir.
I'm your booth thing of the week.
Thank you so much for moderating the chat and interacting with our viewers.
We got Dylan Matthews from Down Under.
Down Under.
He says, hi, I'm here. GIF King in the building. It's starting. Cut a promo on the coronavirus. We're not going to do that.
No. I told him I never visited Australia, and he said, whatever you do, don't go to Canberra. So I'll avoid Canberra, whatever the capital city is.
Canberra.
Canberra. Shout out to everyone in the chat interacting with us, having a good time. Let's talk about, before we get to tonight's episode of NXT, Worlds Collide was this Saturday, Rumble weekend. Emily May, overall thoughts about that show?
Oh my gosh, Worlds Collide?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Worlds.
So just colliding, right? So again, you have your top brands, you have your NXT, you have NXT UK going at it, you know. I had my favorite moments.
Go on.
Did you have more? So I have to say, you know, it was I like the Rhea Ripley Toni Storm moment.
Okay.
I think we talked about it a little bit where the ending wasn't quite the way that was expected, but I really love seeing them both together. And then I also liked the tag team. Well, it was bigger than a tag team. It was Imperium, the factions.
Okay,
going
that's
at
that
it.
Team match. Sure, sure. That's the show for you.
Yeah, those were like my two moments where I feel like Worlds Collide brought it, and I actually watched the final match with Imperium and Undisputed Era multiple times because so much happened, and I loved it so much. And I just was like, all right, I gotta.
Would you be down for another Worlds Collide, another NXT versus NXT UK, or would you rather keep them separate?
You know, I actually like having them both kind of go against each other because we don't necessarily, if you're not familiar with NXT UK talent, you get to see them.
You should be.
You should be. But if you're not, this is a really great opportunity to see them and see them go against talent that we get to see weekly.
Sure. Jack Farmer, you know, usually in the slot, there'll be a takeover the night before the Royal Rumble. This was decided that takeover would be in February, and then we had Worlds Collide. Was it the right move? Was it a way to showcase new talent? Or were you a fan of the takeover model?
Do we lose either way? I mean, either way, you get these amazing matches. I don't remember the last time an NXT brand was involved in a show and it wasn't great.
True.
So, I mean, whether it's the Worlds Collide or whether it's TakeOver, it was an amazing show. They're always amazing. And I feel like adding Worlds Collide just means we get two of them instead of one. So I think it's a win.
Yeah,
well, absolutely. And I liked how it led up to, you know, are we going to see any of these people tomorrow at the Royal Rumble? Like, it was like, oh, what's going to happen, you know? We kind of had an idea of who would show up, but then there was a lot of surprises of who was going, you know.
Let's talk about that cruiserweight match, you know, the four-way match, you know, Swerve Scott, Travis Banks, Jordan Devlin, Angel Garza. Mm-hmm. With Devlin getting the win, and I told you before this, yeah. I was torn because I feel like Devlin is, him and Tyler Bate are the faces of the brand.
Yeah.
I'm so glad for them. First piece of gold. But Angel Garza was kind of coming into his own as a cruiserweight champion. What do you thought about that?
So, watching, you know, this match exclusively, Garza had really great moments where I really thought that he was going to take it, and I thought he was going to win. And so, to have that kind of surprise where Devlin was the winner, I think helped not only, appreciate new talent and yeah. give new talent an opportunity, but also say, okay, things are going to get shaken up. And with NXT, things always change, and things always... are surprising. And
true.
So in a good way.
Fair enough. So. Well, I'm following this one, Jack. Angel Garza was on the losing end of this match, but he has tremendous upside. Yeah. If you were the Phantom GM, what would you put him?
Angel Garza is such a star. I love Angel Garza. He's one of my favorites in NXT right now.
Because of the pants?
Because of the pants.
He's
just got that, like, I hate using the word swagger because it's so overused, sure. but he does. He's got that presence. His mm-hmm. matches
he
are amazing.
He has that aura that, like, when he walks out, you know
kissing
that
grandma's
he's
and
bringing
aunties.
It. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed he lost the title because I agree. I think he looked good with that title.
Yeah.
But I think now the door is open for anything.
True. Now this belt can be, or championship can be on NXT UK, mm-hmm. can be NXT. Top of the card tonight, though, Finn Balor, Prince Balor, Finger Guns himself.
Yeah.
In a curious match against Trent Seven. We saw a bit of the video that was posted yesterday of him getting involved with Trent Seven. I'm not quite told what the reason of the match was, but the match itself is pretty solid. Emily May walked me through this. Finn Balor being more aggressive than he ever has been before.
Yeah, you know, because yesterday we saw the promo, or Monday, or yeah, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those days. They all went together.
Yeah. So we saw the promo where Finn Balor attacks Trent Seven, and again, you're like, oh, he's being super aggressive, and then here he comes out, and he has just an anger and aggressiveness that we really haven't seen, and it reflected in every move he did in the ring tonight. He was very, efficient, and it just seemed that there was just, this pent-up anger, and I'm not sure where that's coming from.
True.
But it was, I think, very effective in taking Trent Seven down. And Trent Seven, you know, had a really... This was a great match for him to be in.
Yeah.
I think it highlighted... He had a really good offense at a couple moments and really kind of fought back. And I think it was a good match to highlight his talent.
Real quick, taking a step back to Worlds Collide. David Christopher, Punk Rocks in the chat, who says,
hey.
Garza should have retained a frowny face. Which the phrase frowny face always tickles me. I can't say frowny face with a straight face. Jack Farmer, Trent Seven is a fantastic competitor.
Yep.
I mean, you can't get a ticket to the dance if you're not good at what you do. But with
exactly.
all the buzz surrounding Tyler Bate, right, is it kind of weird that Trent Seven seems to be being lost in the shuffle, or am I just being off my rocker here?
That's what I think. This was a perfect match for him. It was a great chance for him to show out with one of the top stars mm-hmm. in the industry, let alone the brand. And it gave us a chance to watch one of his matches and see him without Tyler Bate.
Sure.
In the ring with him.
Yeah.
And I thought he came across well. Of course, Finn's always great. And I still am still a Tyler Bate guy. But I thought it was a win-win match in this case.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, to be going against Finn Balor,
Yeah, there's Tyler Bate. That sexy guy.
It's that ultimate opportunity. And I feel like Trent Seven really took that and embraced it tonight and was like, okay, I'll do anything and I'll make it look really good.
Yeah, and Finn is all obsessed. You know, he beat him, but he was like, oh, Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants that Johnny Gargano.
There's like a frustration that Balor's looking for this gold. He's looking for things that he's
left behind.
Is that
an Irish
behind.
Shot?
What?
For gold.
Oh, no!
I can't believe it, Emily May.
That wasn't at all.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, looking for that next, he's had everything. And so he's looking for that next step in his career, and so he's searching for it and fighting for it.
Can I just say the 1916 just looks just nasty?
It is 1917? The movie?
His finishing move, the 1916 DDT.
Yeah,
that's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
I I guess it was a good movie. I don't really know what that has to do with it.
No, it's a music movie in 1916.
It's the cold, guys.
It's absolutely devastating. Real quick, we saw two promos tonight of the numbers being rearranged into 2-5-2020. Any thoughts about what that can be, you think?
I mean, it's a date.
Well, yeah, it's next week. But yeah. I don't know if we think it will be a debut or a match or a...
I don't know.
It always feels like debut, right?
Yeah, it's a debut
I would think debut. But who knows? It could be a new title. I don't know.
An announcement? I don't know.
And it could be an announcement. Yeah. But yeah, I like the fact that it was like half moons and full moons, that kind of thing. What can that possibly be? But moving on, before we go into further, my man Jack Farmer, since you're our guest on the Violator Couch, can you do us a favor and cut a promo to
pay the bills, ladies and gentlemen. That means we need you guys to hit the like button, fill out a little comment, and hit the subscribe button. That's what keeps us on the air. But most of all, share it with your friends. You can do it on Twitter. You can do it on Facebook. You can do it on Instagram, TikTok. Do people still do Snapchat? Sure.
Yeah.
Do it there as well. We really, really appreciate it. And you guys are the ones that make us the ESPN of TV Talk.
Right guy in the booth, do me a favor. Tell the world what other shows you're on right now, man. Put yourself over, brother.
Am I cutting myself a promo right
now? Yeah, cut yourself a promo. Why not?
All right. Well, here we go. I'm on Star Wars News every Thursdays, 4 p.m. Pacific, and I'm also producing Flobito, Flobito.com, every week on the Star Trek Picard series, Thursdays at what time?
9 p.m.
And also, check out a new article I just put out. If you're excited for The Clone Wars, just coming on Disney Plus, and you don't want to watch all 115 episodes, I got an article for you. You can watch 48.
Oh, man, right guy, the Finn Balor of AfterBuzz TV.
Shout out to Jack Farmer.
Yeah, man.
Right. Ryan, you're the only reason I'm on this show. I just want to work with you again.
Wow, thank you.
He keeps us all together.
Yeah, exactly. He's the glue. But let's talk about this women's match. Shotzi Blackheart, which I said on Monday night, she was my pick to win the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
I drew number 26, didn't win it. Comes out on a tank.
The mini tank.
A tank.
I loved it.
Against Deonna Purrazzo. Thoughts about the match, Emily May?
Oh, I just was obsessed with the tank.
Yeah. The tank is going to Mania. That's
it. The tank is going to Mania.
Forget Shotzi.
It's
going
to be another Rusev entrance, but just for a little
Rusev
mini tank.
Versus... Oh, wow. That's kind of a crazy. Okay, so that's
the match. Anyway. You know, Shotzi Blackheart is like she's a rising star in NXT. She made her debut in the Royal Rumble on Sunday, a surprise entrance. And I think that both of them together, Shotzi and Deonna Purrazzo, are really fantastic. I think they both work really well together. They both have fantastic looks. And so when they're in the ring together, they really just look fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think... they were doing some really sophisticated moves, and I think they both were highlighted and showed that they can bring it, and they're both going to be huge.
Absolutely. Jack Farmer, we're watching this match at the Black Hollywood Live Pavilion on the second floor of AfterBuzz TV studios.
The coffee shop.
By the coffee shop. And all the...
We're breaking it down.
The beds for the hosts. When Shotzi Blackheart won, you kind of went, oh, that's pretty cool. I want to know that knee-jerk reaction that you got.
I loved it. I am all in on Shotzi Blackheart. I think the name sounds cool. The look is cool. I'm a big fan of her. The Filthy Filipino, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. She calls herself that, guys. Saying, don't get mad at Jack.
I was going to say, Jack.
She calls herself that.
What are you doing?
Educate yourself.
I love how they're building her up, where she just was signed, a few months ago?
A few months ago,
and, they're already throwing her into all these situations. And I just love that. It's like, you go for it. When you get signed to NXT,
I feel like
the
merchandise makes itself, too, with her.
Yeah.
She's great.
I will pay money for a horn helmet, for sure.
Yeah, and I love the fact that she went back in her tank after the match. It was like, I'm going to go back.
Which, as an athlete, because, you're familiar with wrestling in general. Yeah. Like, after you work out, you want to be as flat as possible.
But she compresses herself. And she's, crunched up completely. And I love how she's just, does her little move and then drives off.
Just power wheels is like, that's crazy.
I think they need to do, the WWE Performance Center YouTube needs to do a behind the scenes on her of kind of how they created the tank and the look and
it just
all that.
Throws me back to WrestleMania 3 with the ring carts. You know?
Oh my gosh. The greatest.
Bring that back.
They do need to bring that back. Yes.
I'll be so on board.
Yes, the pirate 100%.
Ship. This year's
yes.
Pirate ship. Ship?
Oh my goodness.
Do it.
You guys,
this
there's going to be a big ever. Pirate ship. Yes. It's gonna, there's going to be a big sale. There's going to be pirate ships coming down.
Why the heck not, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about Unlimited Potential. Keith Lee, the new North American champion.
Yes.
Sidebar, that North American title looks perfect on her shoulder. I am on board.
It looks good. Just right there.
Let's talk about that crowd, man. They're on board. They're chanting Keith. That one lady in the front row was going nuts.
Yes.
She was like, Keith. Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing. I mean, he just, like, captured the crowd. The crowd loves him. Fans just adore him. And, you know. They're basking in his glory.
Basking in his glory. It's Jack Farmer. He calls himself a lot of things, but he says he's the prophecy ender.
Yes.
How's this guy can drip so much confidence, and we still like him?
Look at him.
He's
massive. Who's going to tell him otherwise, right?
Right.
I agree with you. I think the title looks perfect on his shoulder. As soon as he won it, didn't it just feel like it was a new era for the...
Yes, absolutely.
Ironically, leaving the Undisputed Era, a new era for the North American title. This title is now the title I want to see defended more than any other title in NXT.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
And you're already... Your mind can just... wander on who you want to see him defended against. I think he's great.
So let's talk about his new division, Emily May. Dominic Dijakovic comes out. Oh, Damian Priest first.
Oh, and well, Damian Priest first.
Yeah, you know, he's doing the air archery or whatever. You know, and I don't know why what was he shooting at. But then Dominic Dijakovic says, hey, look, Keith Lee, we had this giant rivalry last year. I deserve it first. Mm-hmm. Impromptu match, Damian Priest, Dominic Dijakovic. Thoughts about the match and what the new NA title division looks like.
Oh, man. I mean, that's a big question. So, like, two-parter. You know, it was a straight-up fight. It was, they were, you know, first they were confronting Keith Lee, and then they're like, nah, it's just between us.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to work it out between them. You know, they're both really great athletes, and I think they really just were frustrated, and they're trying to figure, they want their spot in the spotlight, their moment in the sun, and they haven't gotten it, and so they're trying to fight for it. And so it was really good. They really showed that they want it, and so I think we'll see.
Keith Lee and Dominic Dijakovic are just two people that seem to, no matter what they do, butting heads.
And
it's interesting how they've butted heads a ton of times, but it seems like every time they find a way to raise the stakes just a little bit more.
Higher. Yeah.
And every time, I mean, I almost feel bad for these guys. How do you top the last match they had?
Because
every time they have match,
add gold.
Add gold. But like they go so far with all their matches. I can't wait to see what they do at a takeover or something along those lines. Because now that there's gold on the line, I think this is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, what Keith Lee said, he was talking about being a moment maker, a game changer, and he definitely is, but you have to have that person that can go up against him and make those moments happen. It's not just one person. So, and I'm not sure who the right person is.
True.
But
I want to shout out to Dylan Matthews, who says two things. First, the Keith Lee's theme song is still trash, but he's saying Keith Lee. Well, the song is all right, but the rap is terrible. But Keith Lee leaving and letting Priest and Dominic fight amongst themselves is a very heel move.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
No, I don't think so.
Well, no, he was getting out of the way. The way I interpret it was he was like, "All right, I'll let you guys figure it out, and I'm gonna go and chill back." In the locker room,
for sure.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Where he was like, "All right, I got my gold. I don't need to bother with this until
Champions
I need
advantage.
To."
Champions advantage.
Yeah,
he was like, "I got the gold. I don't need to."
Who else
like,
is going to eat the catering,
right? Right, guy. I sent you something, and also thoughts about Keith Lee being the new North American champion.
Thoughts of my thoughts?
Yeah, thoughts. Yeah, I mean, the fact that
Keith Lee.
Yeah.
You know, these are my thoughts.
I'm basking.
I'm always down to bask a little, and also my dad's name's Keith.
Oh, that's cool.
And my favorite teacher's last name was Lee. So
that should be your name then if you were to start wrestling.
It really should be.
Seriously,
my favorite name.
I think we have your name.
I know. I think, you know, you have to go from like the street you're born on minus your dad's middle name, something like that. But you know, my thoughts are, I think it's a great pick, and I think I'm going to need to do his entrance for one of these promos one of these days.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, the song sucks, but okay. Let's talk about Tommaso Ciampa, who is on this quest to get his NXT title back. And he's doing it the most vicious way possible.
So vicious.
Decimating the Undisputed Era. Which, sidebar, the Undisputed Era is going through a really tough time the past two weeks.
Man.
I have, they're out of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. They lost the North American title.
Yes.
They lost at Worlds Collide. And they got beat up backstage.
Yeah.
If you own Undisputed Era stock, sell. So,
sell.
He put Adam Cole through a table. What?
Oh my gosh. He totally, like you said, he decimated. Just scattered the Undisputed Era backstage.
Bobby Fish,
no, it was so dramatic. You know, Ciampa, I loved this promo tonight.
Sure,
he has been fighting so hard for a chance at this gold and to go against Adam Cole, and I just felt the heartache and the passion behind it. He was like, kind of. He was very angry, very vicious, but you could tell that there was, like, some heart there where he was like, I'm still kind of a good person.
You make it sound like he went to a nightclub and was like, where's your title?
No,
oh, I'm sorry.
He was,
get
no,
out of here.
He yeah. just, he, Ciampa brought it tonight.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
You know, poor Adam Cole.
Does Tommaso Ciampa get his
table.
Title back, Jack Farmer?
I want him to, yeah.
But will he?
Will he get it, though, at TakeOver?
TakeOver Portland.
Portland. Mm.
Which is 2 weeks, 2 weeks and change away.
February 16th.
Yeah,
a few weeks.
Yeah.
No.
Ooh.
No.
He's
well,
down.
They're building. It's WrestleMania season.
I think Adam Cole retains because I think you're right. The Undisputed Era has been taking some L's.
Yeah.
Some hard L's. And if he was to lose it, I think if he was to lose it, they're done. It's over.
Time to move on. Faction's done. Yeah.
But I've said before, Ciampa is the best storyteller in NXT.
It's incredible.
Everything he's done. For as long as I can remember, has been outstanding, best thing on the show quality.
Mm-hmm.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, the chat, I'm looking at the chat right now, and Zeno
what
and
Iris. What
do you think? Yeah. Well, you says Saber for Velveteen, which is interesting. It's interesting. Because he is kind of injured, only out there.
Well, I do miss Velveteen.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Regal came out and was kind of on the side of Adam Cole being like, Tommaso, what are you doing? You know what I mean? I feel like I was kind of like the most even-keeled general manager role. I love the way Regal is not a heel or a face, but he's the interest of the brand, right?
Yeah, I mean, Regal wants to do what's best for, you know, like the brand. So he's going to, like, put over the champion.
Sure. And if you're putting people through tables, someone's got to shake their finger at
them. Yeah, someone has to be mad.
Tell
like,
you
like,
did
hey,
something bad.
Like slap your hand and be like, you did something bad.
I don't know. Hey, it's a Wild West or Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
There's no GMs over there.
No, but I think it worked. I think it worked because it pushed Adam Cole down the ramp and into the to ring to cause all the ruckus.
Well, I don't think Ciampa gets it. I really think that's a kind of a cool story, and he'll be he won't get it at TakeOver.
No,
he'll
I don't
go,
think
he'll
get
somewhere
it at
else.
TakeOver.
That's
yeah.
put me,
I
which means it will happen because I'm the worst at predictions. I'm the worst at predictions. It's totally proven. But moving on, it's now time for Flobito's Boo Thing of the Week.
Boo Thing of the Week.
Oh man, this song I sing when I'm in the shower. Give it up for Miss Deonna Purrazzo. I gotta say this, the virtuoso has been around the NXT system for a while. Her match today wasn't quite in her favor, losing, taking the L to Shotzi Blackheart, but she has what we call the it in spades. She's dripping in it. Her performance, her costuming, her posturing. I gotta give it to her, maybe even Chelsea Green too, but Deonna Purrazzo, if you ever checked out on Instagram, is totally living her best life, and there's only more than upside for her, and that's why she is this week's Boo Thing of the Week. So, speaking of Women's Division, Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, former besties that were a tag team, but they broke up. That never happens in wrestling.
Never. We all stick together all the time.
The Mega Powers were a unit. Thoughts about the match, Emily May?
You know, we've all been waiting for this. We've all, you know, we've seen this build up. You know, Dakota Kai taking out Tegan Nox. So there's a lot of backstory there, and they're just. You know, Tegan, both of them have this it factor. You know, I think I love the, on commentary, they were saying, like, the bonds of sisterhood are like, no longer, they're broken.
Right.
Which, I feel like this match was, like, the epitome.
That was very Mauro, though. He totally oversold it.
Yeah.
The bonds of sisterhood.
The war of attrition. But I love
music
that because,
reference.
Yes.
Mamma Mia.
All the way up.
But I loved that because that's so true. Because like that's what they're displaying when they're in the ring, and you know they had some stuff outside of the ring where they're trying to like take each other out. But there's we were talking about like the emotional and like psychological kind of warfare that's happening with Tegan Nox and the braces. On her legs, and I feel like using those things is interesting and adds another element where she has to like emotionally and psychologically overcome something, not just physically.
Good point.
I feel like that was a really good moment tonight when they were going at it.
Jack Farmer.
I was shocked we got this today. Yeah. This felt like a takeover match.
Absolutely. It was quick, but yeah, I agree.
No, I mean, I guess the scenario I thought called for a takeover match. So that shocked me we got it today. It shocked me.
Free TV.
It ended the way it did.
Yeah, so I think it makes sense to have it after the Royal Rumble, I think.
I would definitely after the Royal Rumble, but I mean, there's nothing. No one would have fought NXT if they held it to takeover.
Yeah, no.
But we got it today, unless there's a stipulation happening. Yeah. Last October, when NXT went to 2 hours on USA, I remember having this conversation with you saying, you know what, I don't really see the aesthetic difference between Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai. If I have to pick, I'm Tegan Nox. And I was like, really? Yeah. I wonder, has that changed any? And if it hasn't, why so?
I do like Dakota Kai more. Nope. I think what she's been doing lately has been a lot better. I think she stands out a lot more, but I like Tegan Nox.
Yes.
You know, everyone likes their boo.
Is she a boo?
Is she a boo thing?
Yeah.
Boo thing of the week. Jack Farmer's
boo thing of the week. Yeah. I actually would say I'm actually a fan of Dakota Kai. I like the fact she has a bit of an attitude. We don't have faces and heels anymore. We have antagonists and protagonists.
Yes.
However, since becoming an antagonist, her win-loss record leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, she lost that match to Mia Yim a couple weeks ago. She got kind of like destroyed ringside a couple weeks ago. Was there any doubt in your mind that she probably would have won or any kind of uncertainty at all?
I didn't really mind that she didn't necessarily get this win because it adds to her grit. It adds to her the like she has like a psychological kind of character background where she's like a little bit more what's the word?
Calculating, smart.
Yeah, calculating. Okay. Yeah, like she's calculated. She's trying to create these scenarios that aren't like a little bit deceitful in the characters that she's constructing, and so. Like getting a win, like okay, it's going to be good, but it just adds more to her character when she gets some losses and had some brooding moments.
But allow me to complain and whine about something very specific, which is totally out of my control. But I'm going to complain anyway. Tegan Nox was supposed to be the hero, but she got help from Candice LeRae.
Yes, Candice LeRae.
Isn't the bad person? Isn't the antagonist supposed to have a backup and all that kind of thing? Why is Tegan Nox and listen to help Candice LeRae, or why is Candice LeRae helping Tegan Nox in this situation?
But didn't Candice LeRae help like block the chair? So she did. She didn't like bring out a chair and then make it happen. She like was protecting the chair.
So she's like Batman, just hanging around with injustice.
Candice LeRae's gonna have her like candy logo in the sky.
Oh, come on, Jack Farmer. Would you want to see these two wrestle again? And if so, would you add a stipulation?
I think you'd have to add a stipulation if you were to do it again.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with it. This one was short.
Yeah.
I don't understand. If they were to do it again, I'd be interested to see what the storytelling will be as to how we get there.
Yeah.
Because if they just decide to have another match, it would seem kind of repetitive. But
yeah,
NXT is very good at justifying these kind of things and moving things forward. So I'd be open to it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's going to be a video package come out later, like tonight or tomorrow, that something happened backstage or something to kind of add to the story and continue the drama.
This is kind of a sidebar for me, but I like the fact that NXT doesn't like neglect story, like Beth Phoenix today.
Oh my god, the opening was perfect.
Right,
it addressed everything that happened this weekend, and it totally made sense. And it was like. And it was funny because when I first saw her pop up before they started talking, I was like, she looks upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I hope, like, I was like, I hope she's okay. And then she started talking about what happened this weekend. It was amazing.
It was kind of interesting because it was like, you know what, because what Randy Orton did to Adam, whatever. But I'm like, you got busted open. I won't mention that first.
I know. I was like, she wrestled. Yeah. And she mentioned, like, she didn't even mention really what happened to her. She mentioned, Yeah.
Fellas, get you a Beth Phoenix. Get you a Beth Phoenix.
Yes. She did get busted open and like that. Like she was phenomenal this weekend.
The Glamazon.
So super proud of her.
Let's speak about being super proud. Robert Stonebrand, proud of his client, Chelsea Green, with a match against Caden Carter. I remember this at the end of the year, I was like, Caden Carter's breakout year is 2020. She got the win today, surprisingly to some people, over Chelsea Green. Emily May, here's a question I have for you. I am pretty sure you didn't expect Caden Carter to win.
No,
or did
I didn't.
You? But the fact that she did, is that, does that say more about Caden, or does it say more about Chelsea Green?
You know, again, Chelsea Green had, you know, she had an amazing weekend, you know, as well with her debut at the Royal Rumble. And so, I wasn't disappointed. I wouldn't have been disappointed. I'm not disappointed about the result tonight, and I wouldn't be disappointed if, like, Chelsea Green got it. So, I think it was just, it's too, again, there's two talents that are trying to figure out their place in NXT and where they're going. And the, you know, and Chelsea Green has this, you know, Robert Stone trying to like manage her and figure out, get her to that title shot.
Yeah.
So again, she has some stories that are developing that she's trying to figure out. And so I think it wasn't anything that like I was upset about.
Yeah.
I think it was a solid match, and it was a good place for them to be at.
Jack, I want to pick your brain on this one, because I think AEW is in a second stage with the women's division. They're introducing new characters with new desires and drives. If you look at Chelsea Green's debut, or re-debut, if you want to be technical, if you watched the past year with Robert Stonebrand, she's floated between NXT and UK, had a couple losses on Raw, had her Royal Rumble debut, and didn't last very long in that one, and was pulled from the Women's Battle Royal a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now, for someone who has never seen Chelsea Green before, how do you think her debut campaign is to a casual fan?
Well, I guess first and foremost, it speaks to, again, just how deep the roster is for women's wrestlers on NXT. Because I think anywhere else, Chelsea Green would be a superstar.
Sure.
And so the fact that she didn't come up with a win, I think, says a lot about just how talented the group is on NXT. As far as you'd asked, what does this say about Chelsea Green? I think the loss speaks more to the Robert Stone brand. I was actually shocked that he really debuted and his client is not doing well.
Sure.
I thought when he came out that this was
good. I could see that.
I thought he was going to be a big deal I almost thought he was going to have like a stable. He seemed like he's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really shocked that she hasn't had a lot of success, because she wasn't in the Rumble very long either.
No.
So I'm very interested in that. But Caden Carter is cool, so I'm glad she won. But a very, very shocking surprise.
Well,
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, what do you do, like, as Robert Stone, like, how do you move forward when your client, I guess, is, like, losing and not doing well? And, like, what, like, I would love to know, like, are they going to put out more, like, what's his story and why is he pushing for this? And, like, is there some reason why she's losing? And, like, is there more to that? And I'm wondering if they're, like, keeping it and, you know, because, like, what's his story and what's happening with him that's leading to,
I think that's why
losses.
Caden Carter was a perfect opponent. Had Chelsea Green got, like, demolished by Mia Yim, you can say, well
it's
Mia
Yim
was number one contender. Caden Carter has a win-loss record that's kind of beatable.
Yeah.
And the fact she didn't get the job done and was small packaged, you know, it was kind of like, whoops, you know. I do think that opens a door for a lot of storytelling. Does Robert Stone get some kind of backup? Does he say, scold Chelsea Green? Does Chelsea Green, like, become more vicious? So I thought that was a perfect match. And then it gave Caden Carter a little bit of a bump.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
For
like, does he give up on her? And it's like, no, I can't even deal with you.
I'm done.
You know? Like, how long does this go? And, like, how, you know, and I would love to know, like, what fans on the chat think about this, pairing.
Well, a lot of the people in the chat just said Chelsea Green's boo thing, but that's
this is just a really great example, too, is how, and you had mentioned NXT being so good about storytelling and keeping stories. And I think this is a good example of, like, we don't worry about this situation because we know NXT is going to do it well.
I think there are other stories,
there are other places where you may see something in wrestling and something like this happens and you throw your hands up and go, well, what was the point of all this buildup? But with NXT, they have such goodwill, we all as fans say, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
So I don't give up on anyone in this, because NXT does a very good job of keeping this stuff going.
That's a good point.
Jack is the man, right? Before we get to our main event, I asked you this last time you were here, Jack Farmer, on AEW Dynamite After Show, which happens right after this show.
We
have a segment called Elite of the Week. Anyone today has got to you that would be on a NXT equivalent?
Well, I think the broserweights have to be the elite of the week.
Pot references.
The way. They won the tournament. They're such a go figure. You have two really cool individuals. You put them together, and you've got a really cool tag team. Right?
Total straight man and comedy act. They're serious too.
I mean, last time I was on here, I said I want to see them have a match, and I still do.
Yeah.
But now I kind of like seeing them palling around. Yeah. I think they're fun seeing them be such opposites but getting along so well.
Yeah,
well,
they're like this little comedic act, you know, and like Pete Dunne tries to like be cool and like, okay, it's kind of like a big brother little brother act where the little brother's being really ridiculous and annoying.
Yeah.
but then you have like the big brother's like, hey, keep it cool.
I wonder what they bond over.
But I love it. I love watching
together. Did they bond over Pokemon cards? Like, what's the link between the two of them?
I mean, they must have to, like, go out and, like, go to Six Flags or something.
I just see Pete's face.
What? I mean, Six Flags?
Okay, cool.
Where's Bugs Bunny? Can I get a picture of Bugs Bunny?
Like Tweety Bird. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Ironically, it's Pete Dunne that wants the pictures.
No, bro. Let's roll into it. Our main event, the Dusty Rhodes Classic Finals. The Broserweights, Pete Dunne, Matt Riddle, against the Grizzly Young Veterans, Zach Gibson and James Drake. The match, I thought, delivered. We got the perfect NXT versus NXT UK final. I was surprised the Broserweights won the match, but I'm not mad. Emily May, thoughts about the match?
I mean, I'm kind of in your camp as well. I thought that, you know, the Broserweights, I thought, you know, I love them, so I kind of was, like, rooting for them. But I also was thinking, like, the Grizzly Young Veterans would win, too. So I was like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think overall the match, you know, it had a really good buildup. So you had this, like, kind of comedic tag team versus, like, a really serious, like, you know, NXT UK team. And so you had contrasting styles where they're trying to, like, figure out the best strategy to attack. And it had a little slow buildup, but then the end was, like, an explosion of just, like, energy and, you know, them fighting back. And there was, like, really surprise moments that were really great. And I think it got the energy. The fans loved it. They were chanting. They were in it, you know, from the beginning.
No doubt in my mind, the match delivered on all fronts. The thing that I liked about it, too, is that they didn't hold it back. They didn't say, in 2 weeks, here's our final.
No, they didn't. They really made it. So this was the thing that you had to look forward to tonight.
Well, let's talk about the Grizzly Young Veterans for a bit. Because that was a team that probably was not known as well as other groups in this tournament. They had a lot of promos and saying, look, you guys, we're just better at what we do. They were on the bump. Shout out to the bump.
Yeah.
They were all these other things saying that we were going to win. They took out Kushida and Alex Shelley.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to think they had a chance of winning this tournament? And,
no.
And if so, where did they go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredible that they went and they did kind of their, like, campaign to say, hey, we're going to take this. We're going to win. It was like their marketing campaign for the Oscars.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going for this. We want it. And so I think a lot of people believe they were going to take it. And so I don't know what their next steps are. I mean, what do they, are they staying together? Are they going to, like, you know, are they going to break up and do like some singles competition? I think they're great together. So I think staying together would be the best move, but finding a place for them and finding alternative tag teams that they can go against is going to be hard because this story was so good. And like with like the Dusty Rhodes Classic, you get to put people together that you don't necessarily get to see all the time. And so sometimes you, like, create lightning and lightning hits, and I feel like we did with these guys.
Gotcha. Yeah, NXT did something very sneaky here because they've needed some tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We always complain when people get, quote-unquote, thrown together.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. But because it was veiled under the guise of the Dusty Rhodes Classic, we accept it.
Yeah.
And we embrace it. We're like, hey,
this is fine.
It's
the rules of the game. It's the guidelines that we're creating. This is what we're going to work within.
I'm glad you raised that question.
Because if this was I think if they had just said, hey, by the way, this is a tag team, we'd go, oh, this is a thrown together tag team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But because it was done this way, now we love it. We embrace it.
Yes.
And it's great. And now they have a name, and mm-hmm. we're all in, and it's very sneaky. Very sneaky, NXT. I'm on to you.
So I was
but it was great.
I was talking to George Ramos about this at the Popcorn Talk Tower. about this throwing together team. What is the balance of a team that's thrown together like a Riddle and Dunn and someone like, say, Air Boom, like a Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne that are together long enough we kind of think they're a tag team? Because you can say the Grizzly Young Veterans are a tag team, a legitimate one, but they are kind of two different individuals and styles. They aren't wearing the same trunks or tights. Mm-hmm. Where is the balance we have when we say they're thrown together versus they're an organic team?
Most teams are thrown together. That's the thing.
Right.
They stick around together long enough for us to say, oh, okay, we accept that.
Yeah, I think eventually if you're together long enough and you have the same unified brand, the same unified look, you are following the same storylines, you're eventually going to be considered a tag team.
I mean, the New Day was at one point.
And you're working together.
A couple people thrown together.
True.
Exactly.
And now we would. And now we're happy with
it. By the way,
it.
That podcast is hilarious.
Oh,
The New Day
it's
one.
It's the best.
This is this thing that. Sidebar. But this thing where Big E talks about, like, the time when they had, like, the you vote for the match. And it was like either him against Del Rio or Swagger, but Swagger won. He was like just mad that he had to fight Swagger for so long. The chat is going off. For some reason, Dylan Matthews goes, shout out to Six Flags. Okay, great. Dang MQ says the bros are rates are great. Zeno Irish says I like the pairing. I mean, they totally grew on me. Pot references aside, I think they have a good complement of what they are. They could be attraction.
They do. Yes. And, you know, it's one of those things like it's sometimes opposites attract and you just kind of have to work with it.
Sure.
It kind of gives people a different opportunity to stretch some muscles that they might not do if they were with someone that was like a similar personality trait.
Yeah.
So
2.5 weeks from now, take over Portland, the Bros Rates, Undisputed Era. Who do you got and why?
Oh goodness.
Bro. Okay.
Bro.
Bro.
You know, I mean, okay, so logically and strategically, I think Undisputed Era.
Oh!
But my heart goes with the Bros Rates.
Don't go with your heart. That's why I get my predictions wrong. Going with your heart. That's
a
bad idea.
That's why I'm not good with predictions. Because I just like love everyone.
See, I think I'm good, but I'm not. And that's my problem. Like, I bet all in red. Dang it. You know, like
all blue.
Yeah, exactly. So you, what are you, Jack? What do you have? Bros Rates for the Undisputed Era. Take over Portland.
Well, I've never been wrong with a prediction. As
are you sure?
I have
you
had Lana 100%
prediction.
So I'm telling you right now, Bros Rates are going to win it.
Okay, so they're not going to win then.
No, the Bros Rates are winning.
That's what it is.
They're taking it.
They're over Portland.
They're taking it, and that's why Adam Cole's going to retain, is he's going to be the last one standing with gold.
Is that kind of messed up for Adam Cole? Not Adam Cole, but for the Undisputed Era, that they amass
like
these things in reverse order?
They just can't win.
It's been pretty rough.
It's been rough on
them.
So.
They did have every single title at the same time.
I think that for months.
I don't know if we can say they never win.
So is this like the end of an era?
Wrestle funds.
We're professionals.
That's a good point. It's a real good point. It may be the end of the Undisputed Era as we know it.
I mean, this might be a way, like, if it does happen at TakeOver Portland, it might be that chance where it's like, all right, this faction doesn't exist anymore.
Drew, Jack Farmer, final point about today's episode of NXT before we get out of here.
I thought it was another fantastic episode. NXT is always great. A lot of people say it's the Wednesday Night Wars. I think NXT's just always been good.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Jack Farmer, where can the world find you in 2 minutes and online?
You can find me online at jackcfarmer.com as well as at realjackfarmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the AEW Dynamite After Show podcast going on in about 10 minutes and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific, as well as the AEW social media skim every Wednesday, and finally as well as the Raw After Show every Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific.
I was like, I'm asleep. Also, you can find me on all social media platforms at Emily Mayheller. You can find me on Championship Wrestling from Arizona on Fight TV on Sundays. And then Wednesdays at AfterBuzz for Women's Wrestling Weekly at 4 o'clock. And then NXT.
I got nothing. No, I'm just kidding. Brand new web series called Flobotomy, available on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. We take a controversial opinion. This one, MVP, is the greatest wrestling character of all time. I'm Flobo Voice. You can follow me at Flobo Voice on Twitter, at Flobito on Instagram, and of course, Flobito.com. But until next time, buzz you later.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.